Our gospel this week comes from the first gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, it's just like, we're still in the first, chapter of the Gospel of Mark. And so far, it starts out with, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and all of a sudden there's John and all this stuff, and it just keeps going and going and going. Last week, he went to the synagogue. And like a lot of people, after church, he went for brunch. But something happened. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The gospel of our Lord. Praise you, O Christ. Please be seated. Many of you know that I like to cook. But there are times when things need to get taken care of very quickly or inspiration is gone. And so you reach to something easy and handy. Hamburger Helper, right? Easy and handy, but I discovered something very important about Hamburger Helper. It only works if the hamburger will accept help. Now, my family likes to play cards, and we also like to mess with each other. I discovered recently that my deck of cards have been glued together. Yep, I don't know if I can deal with them. Now, many, many years ago now, it feels really long time ago, because it pretty much is, I lived on the island of Guam, and one of the things that I found fascinating about it was the fascination with really low riders and speed bumps. And I just didn't understand it, but I slowly got over it. My wife's not speaking to me after the service, so there we are. She's like, "Really? You went there?" Yes, I went there. I know. Speed bumps. It's kind of odd. This service, this whole gospel is like, where's the speed bump? It's like fifth gear, full throttle, pedal to the middle. Jesus, the gospel itself couldn't take enough time to start the gospel with a complete sentence. The good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, period. That's it. And then it's off. Here's a brief introduction of John the Baptist. Jesus is baptized. Jesus is tempted. Jesus goes and calls his first four disciples. Jesus goes to the synagogue. He teaches. He casts out an unclean spirit. He goes to lunch. He ends up healing half of the town. And then he finally gets away. Oh. And everyone's looking for him. Jesus is probably at that point in time, like my son is most days after a certain time, going, "I'm done peopling right now. Just need to get away." Notice he doesn't go away to a desert. He goes to a deserted place. He just needs to get away. But this whole gospel is just zoom, 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 zoom. In fact, even within the Greek, there's this phrase called kai euthus, which means literally "and immediately." And it's used like six times in this first chapter alone. "And immediately, and immediately, and immediately." How many of you would survive an English teacher's wrath if you submitted an essay that starts off with a sentence fragment and starts half of your sentences with "and immediately"? it's like they can't even stop. And notice that there's no long expositions about teachings yet or anything else. In fact, we really haven't heard anything other than the time is fulfilled, the kingdom is near, repent and believe the good news. Other than that, and pretty much come and I'll make you fishers of men, are the only things he's really said that we have quotes in this first chapter. We don't have any of his teachings. None of it. In fact, last week we heard about the fact that he went to the synagogue and taught, and everyone was amazed. And anybody of us reading it are going, amazed at what? We didn't hear anything. It just said he was. He did. And people were amazed. Woohoo! Zoom, 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 zoom. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not a fan of speed bumps. In fact, there's a street that's east of here. It's an east-west street, and I don't remember its name, where it seems like for about a quarter of a mile or a half of a mile, there's like 10 speed bumps. And the other day I ended up on it, and I'm like, oh, I cannot wait for this road to come to an end. What is it with speed bumps? Really? But what are speed bumps for? They're not for you. Because on that particular street, there's a park with a playground, a school, and two churches. The speed bumps are not there for you. The speed bumps are there for them. It gets you to stop, or at least slow down and see something. And if you notice, there's actually a couple of speed bumps already. The first one is, he went to church. He's hungry. They get to Peter's house. No food. Why? Mother-in-law's sick. He's got to slow down, stop, heal her. That shouldn't be a surprise because he just came from the synagogue where he was busy teaching and everyone was amazed at what he did, and a man with an unclean spirit interrupted him and he had to stop what he was doing and cast out the demon. And then after lunch, the whole town came. Finally gets away. And here comes the guys. Everyone's looking for you, aka everyone needs you. Well, let's go to the other towns and villages, for that is what I came out to do. Him being able to step away allowed him to see that things were more than just dealing with the stuff in front of him. How many of you noticed that in Tucson we have beautiful sunsets? Uh-huh. How many of you are intentional about stopping and looking at them? Good. How often is it because we're busy doing something else? Where there's the mountains, or any number of other things that happen? Because we're so busy and we're just going. Life might be on cruise control. We might be thinking, I got to get to, I got to finish, I got to take care of. Zoom, 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 zoom. And how much do we miss out? How many opportunities for so many things do we literally just blow by? There's a story about a man in a very expensive car cruising down a street one day on his way to work when there was this loud crack against the side of his car, and he slammed on the brakes, went out, and saw this massive dent in his passenger door and this large rock, this chunk of brick right there next to him. And he saw this kid on the sidewalk, and he ran over to the little kid, and he grabbed him, and he said, "Why did you do that to me?" And the kid just pointed to his friend who had fallen out of his wheelchair, and he's like, "I can't help him back in." Sometimes the Holy Spirit involves throwing rocks. That's one kind of a speed bump. May that not happen to us. But how often do we miss these things along the way? Because we've got our plans, we've got our checklists, we've got our things we're going to do, and then there's a phone call, or there's a knock at the door, or you're trying to go and do something and there's somebody on the side. Throughout Jesus' ministry, he's going to be faced with tons of speed bumps. Because, I mean, like, literally, right after this, he's on the road, and a leper comes up to him. "Heal me." The rich young ruler rose up to him. The 10 lepers. The man born blind. All of these people start, you know, come up to him, and you know, he sees them on his way. He's trying to go and do something, isn't he? Like all of us. We're all trying to do something. And yet, ultimately, he talks about the fact that the person who is most embodying the love of God and the love of your neighbor as yourself involves a story about a man who got beat up and left in the ditch, and the priest and the Levite just kept walking on by. But the Samaritan slowed down, saw, and responded. There's so many things in life we might miss. The glory of God, a miracle, all kinds of things, because we are so certain and we need to just keep going, going, going. And we've got our plans, we've got our understandings, we've got what's going to happen. And then we go, "I didn't see anything." Maybe we need to slow down so we see God in our neighbor, God in a circumstance, God in the glory of a sunset, or wherever else God may be saying, "Slow down, live." The kingdom of God is near. Repent. Open your eyes. See the good news. And my hope is that for all of us, we might, you know, as we enter into Lent pretty soon, Lent is often a time of giving things up. Maybe you need to give up fifth gear. Maybe you need to give up a little pressure on the pedal. And I'm not talking literally, I'm talking figuratively. Well, maybe literally too. I'm a little careful about saying that too much out loud, otherwise my wife will go, "Didn't you say something in church?" But for all of us, how much do we miss the opportunities to give and receive, the opportunities to see and experience the life that is here? Because ultimately, we need to remember one thing. Each and every one of us are a speed bump to God. Why? Because he slowed down to see us, to be with us, to love us, to give us life eternal. So remember that God loves you, and so do I. Amen.